Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Bill Kent. And Bill, is it true that you ran your motorcycle into a train, or the train ran that? No, the train could have run into your motorcycle.
Yes, it did. It did. Monday, the 13th of May, 1985, at 8:05 in the morning.
Listen, I don't ride motorcycles, but that looks like a dangerous thing to be doing if you were to fall. But to run into a train, oy vey, what happened to you?
Well, it was Monday morning, as I said, at 8:05. The intersection was blocked, so I couldn't see the train coming. And I don't remember the accident at all, nor do I remember anything for like 3 weeks before the accident or up to 3.5 months after the accident. But what I've been told is that, you know, there was tractor trailer trucks parked on both sides of the intersection. The intersection was obscured and I couldn't see the train coming. And it came out of nowhere and hit me broadside.
At least you had a helmet on?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how much good that did you, but all right, medically speaking, what was wrong with you?
I had a closed head injury that left me either in a coma or comatose for a period of time. I had a vitreal hemorrhage in the right eye with optic nerve damage in the right eye and also spinal injuries.
The spinal injuries, that's an understatement, because he became a paraplegic. Do you ever in your wildest imagination think you would be a paraplegic?
Well, no, I didn't. I never thought this could happen to me. I mean, I saw it happening to all kinds of other people. I was an emergency medical technician for years, and I had been on rescue scenes, you know, and seen many other people go through this, but I never thought for one minute it could happen to me.
Now, but you made the best of it, and actually, you won a number of medals in the, is it called the Paraplegic Olympics or?
The Paralympic Games. It's the sports for the disabled, includes, you know, anybody that has a physical disability. There are competitions all over the world.
How far did you go as far as your competitions? Did you win championships?
Well, I started off, Sid, on my very first competition with a borrowed gun from the ROTC department at Salisbury State University in Maryland. And I shot it for 20 minutes the night before my very first competition. I went into the competition the next morning, and the Lord blessed me with 5 gold medals and 5 national records.
My goodness, so you had a real gift for this.
He gave it to me.
How many gold medals have you won?
39 gold medals, 14 silvers, and 3 bronze. I've never been in a competition that he didn't bless me with a victory and a medal.
Now, there was a time in your life where it all hit you. Not only the fact that you're confined to a wheelchair, but everything was going bad in your life. And you found yourself in, would you call it a backslidden state?
Absolutely, positively. That started on January the 31st of 1994. I left my apartment. I was going to school at Prince George's Community College for my degree in paralegal studies. And I left my apartment that morning, and I was, of course, in a wheelchair at that point. And there was cooking oil that had been spilled on the floor, and the chair kicked out from under me, nailing me back against the wall, and I broke my neck.
Oh, no.
Yes. And at that point, I mean, it's like just I had called for prayer and the calls were ignored. And I said to God, you know, if this is who I'm serving and this is all that you can do, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And so I separated myself for a time, for a season. And you know, that was from 1994 until 2000.
You found yourself with a broken down van at a friend's house, and I guess you hit, as they say, you hit bottom.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes. Well, I had hit bottom. My van had broken down in front of a friend's house. That friend was the same friend that took me to this church in Laurel, Maryland, the Tabernacle Church. it had changed leadership and everything. She took me back to the church. That was under the direction of Pastor Gurley. And, you know, Pastor Gurley is an awesome, awesome, awesome man of God. And I was given an opportunity by God to come back into his church and to serve him once again. And I started to do that. And it was during that time that God spoke to me very clearly in almost an audible voice, a spiritual voice, but it was so clear and so powerful that one would almost say that it was audible, that he told me to go to Columbus, Ohio on November the 5th of 2000.
For what purpose?
Well, this was unclear for like 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, I kept getting the same message. And I, brother, I'm telling you, I thought I was losing my mind.
You had never heard such a clear voice from God before.
Never. Never.
And he wants you to go to Columbus, Ohio. Did you have friends in Columbus?
No, I didn't know anybody in Columbus, Ohio. I had never been to Columbus, Ohio. I never knew anything about Columbus, Ohio.
You must have been very frustrated.
I was about to pull my hair out.
And you don't want to do that.
Right. I have little left. Then God spoke to me at the end of this 2 weeks. He says, go to Columbus, Ohio, and I'll heal you. And on that very day, I was sitting there watching the Trinity Broadcast Network, TBN, and there was a program on there from Pastor Rod Parsley and World Harvest Church. It was an infomercial about a debt burning service that he was going to have on October the 31st. And I said, well, you know, that's a debt burning service. Well, that's a pastor from Columbus, but it's for October the 31st. It's not November the 5th. The Lord had directed me to go to Columbus on November the 5th. The program ended, and the power of God came over me. And it was all I could do, that I had to call the church.
When you say the power of God came over you, yes. How strong was this?
It was an urge that I could not deny. I could not deny. Now the Lord had spoken to me before, twice before this, and told me to go to different services. And I believe that if I'd have gone, he would have healed me.
Now, Bill has missed it twice, he thinks. This time he's not going to miss it. I mean, he has been a paraplegic, technically a quadriplegic, for 15 and a half years. He doesn't want to miss this time to be healed. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Bill Kent, and I know no one has gone away. This man is technically a quadriplegic. A train went into his motorcycle, if you can believe it. He had so many things wrong with him. I've got a full medical report here. But he hears a voice. He believes it's God. God tells him to go certain places on certain dates. He ignores it. But this one he could not ignore. He was to go to Columbus, Ohio. He had figured out the name of the church he was to go to. But he's got a problem. He has a date to be there, but he's got a problem. No money. So what do you do?
Well, I went to my pastor at the Tabernacle Church, and Pastor Gurley, this was on a Thursday evening, and Pastor Gurley, he addressed the situation, and he took up an offering.
He also prayed for you.
Yes, he did.
What happened?
He prayed for me after the service that evening. He came to me, and he says, you know, it's like the Lord has told me to do this, and he handed me the money. And then he says, I'd like to pray for you. And so he prayed. And that evening, I went to bed, didn't feel anything. I went to bed. The next morning, I woke up. I woke up to my dog. I had a Dalmatian assistance dog. And he was licking my right hand. Now, I had not felt anything in my right side for 15 and a half years.
15 and a half years? I mean, totally, like, you didn't have a right side.
That is correct.
And so what happened?
Well, it's like that was the first miracle. The first miracle was that the Lord had restored the feeling on my right side.
Oh, so in other words, you could feel the dog licking you, is what you're saying.
That's exactly right. That's what woke me up on that morning.
Okay, you got the beginning of a miracle. You go with wheelchair, with dog,
yes,
in this broken down automobile.
Right.
So take me from there.
I go to my parents' house on Friday evening, and I spend the weekend there. Sunday morning, I wake up, you know, and it's November the 5th. And I get myself up and get dressed and everything, and I'm on my way out the door. And my mother says to me, she says, what's going on? And I said, I'm going to church. And she said, oh, okay, well, will you be home for dinner this evening? And I said, well, I kind of doubt it. I purposely did not tell my parents where I was going.
Why?
Well, back in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus went in to raise or heal a little girl or raise her from the dead.
I get it. You didn't want to have any unbelief. Is
that what
you're
exactly
saying?
Right. That's exactly right.
Okay. So you arrive into Columbus, Ohio.
Yes. And I park in the east parking lot at World Harvest Church. And I get on my cellular phone. And I'm calling in to speak to one of the now elders, Elder Ed McKee. Elder Ed McKee is an awesome man of God. And he told me to call him when I got there so that he could make arrangements for me to come in and freshen up before the service. So I call, and the phone rolls over to the prayer center. And the young lady that answered the phone in the prayer center said, I'm sorry, I can't get a hold of Ed McKee. He's not here right now. But you're calling into the prayer center, and so may I pray for you? And I said, well, most certainly. I mean, everybody could use prayer. And so she started saying a prayer that, let me tell you, it was the most awesome prayer that I had ever heard in my life. It was unlike any other prayer that I had ever heard in my life. And it was the Holy Ghost. And she started praying. And you know, I just felt this power come over me. It is almost indescribable. And towards the end of the prayer, it's like, for the first time in 15 and a half years, I could feel the bottoms of my feet, and they felt like they were on fire. And I said to the young lady...
Now, before that, you could not feel anything?
Nothing.
If someone took a pin, you would not say, ouch?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. Nothing at all. It was like they were dead. So the young lady, you know, prayed, and I could feel the fire, and so I asked her...
Really? Come on now. Fire?
Fire.
I mean, like, it was hurting?
It felt like they were on fire.
That's hurting?
That's, yes, is very painful.
Huh.
Very painful. But, you know, and it's like, I praise God, and I'm in glory because I had not felt anything for 15 and a half years.
You got that? He's dead. He's paralyzed. He's a quadriplegic. He hadn't felt anything. All of a sudden, he feels this fire, and he believes that God told him he's going to be healed. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Bill Kent, quadriplegic. God tells him to go to a church he's never heard of in a city where he knows no one. He goes to Columbus, Ohio with his wheelchair, with his dog, and he goes, gets into the church, but he called beforehand, and someone at the church prays for him. For the first time in 15 and a half years, he has feeling in his feet. He gets into the service, and they make an announcement. What do they say, Bill?
They say that it was going to be a miracle, faith, and healing service.
You went to the right service. Then
yes.
What?
Yes. The worship leader comes out, and he makes an announcement, and he, you know, basically says that, you know, if you don't believe, you know, that you don't belong here, and he asked them to leave. And I saw a few people leave. The majority of the people stayed. The service started. Pastor Parsley comes out and makes an announcement that God had spoken to him in the wee hours of the morning and told him that someone was coming from far away on the promise that he was going to be healed. and my spirit jumped.
You knew it was you.
I knew it was me because I had come from far away on a promise that I'd be healed, but I didn't know what I was going to be healed of. So the service starts, and there are a couple of things that take place, and then he calls the diabetics down front. And with that, you know, I go down front with my dog.
Because you're a diabetic.
Because I'm a diabetic.
You got everything wrong with you. Quadriplegic, diabetic, oy vey.
When I got to the church, I hadn't had my insulin in 3 days because I ran out. My blood sugar was 470. The service started, you know, he called the diabetics. I went down front, and the church came together in unity like nothing I'd ever experienced before. Talk about power in numbers. It's like, but I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. So it's like the service went on and on and on, and I was seeing all these miracles take place. And I was sitting there in my chair crying out to God, you know, you told me to come to Columbus, Ohio, and you told me that you'd heal me. I know that you're not a liar, you know? So it's like, I need to see something. And I went to adjust myself in my chair. And one of the ushers said to me, he says, are you trying to get out of that chair? And I wanted to say, no, I'm just adjusting myself. But before I could say anything, words came out of my mouth. I'm going to jump out of this chair in 30 seconds.
Where'd they come from?
They came from God.
Did you get that? I'm going to jump. I mean, he's paralyzed, you get this, out of this chair in 30 seconds. So 30 seconds come, then what?
I stood up for the first time in 15 and a half years. The usher on my right, left.
Did you just push yourself up? How did you stand?
I just stood up.
Like that, okay.
I just stood up. And the usher on my left, he about lost it. He almost fell. And the only reason that he didn't hit the floor is because there's a knee wall behind him.
I have something better than Bill Kent standing right now. I want to take you into that service and see for your own eyes what happened. Let's roll it in.
We about plumb forgot about you. Sorry. How long have you been in that wheelchair?
Since 1985.
Since 19...
Monday, the 13th of May, 1985 at 8:05 in the morning.
You got hit by a train?
Yes.
And you've been in that wheelchair ever since?
Yes.
Come here. I'm just crazy enough to ask, who's that? Oh, that's his dog. It assisted him getting around. Will it bite me if I pet him?
Just sit still, okay? Just sit right there, Mom. Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't know.
What's his name?
His name is Baron.
Hey, Baron.
Yeah.
Hey, Baron. I'm glad you're his friend. Because if it was just for a job, you'd be out of job, Baron.
I don't know about you, but I could literally feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you saw that again, Bill Kent, I have to believe that you felt that presence. Kind of bottom line, help me out.
Yes.
What went on with your diabetes afterwards?
After the service, I went back to my wheelchair, and I had my glucometer with me, so I tested my blood sugar.
You didn't go back into the wheelchair?
No.
Okay.
I went back to it.
All right, I'm with you.
I went back to it, and I got my glucometer out, and I tested my blood sugar in the presence of an usher, and it was 128. My blood sugar fell from 470 to 128 during that service with no insulin.
My goodness.
Back to within normal ranges. Normal ranges is 80 to 140.
Okay. You were taking how many medications at the time?
39.
And after that service, how many did you have to take?
None.
Now, I understand your dog even got a healing. Tell me
yes,
about
he most
that.
Certainly did. As you just saw in that segment, you know, Pastor Parsley went over and patted my dog. And you know, Baron was allergic to 23 different things. But after that service, and I had to give him shots, you know, twice a week prior to that service. But after the service, he was completely healed. I never had to give him another shot.
Let me ask you something. I've done investigative reporting, as you know, for many years.
Yes.
I have never seen a medical report like this one here. And this is Dr.
Arthur Horn.
Arthur Horn.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to read from this report of Dr. Horn. I've never seen the report. I mean, when I was flying into the studio, there just happened to be a doctor next to me on the plane. I gave this to him, and he couldn't believe what he read, because it lists what this doctor's observation was after the healing. And this is what the doctor says. Mr. Kent has been supernaturally healed, and there is no medical or scientific explanation for what has taken place. It's about time doctors recognize the power of God. And you had another doctor's report. Tell me about that.
Yes, it was Dr. Dino J. Delaportis, also from Hagerstown, Maryland. And after I was healed, you know, Dr. Delaportis was my treating physician. He was my primary physician. And I went back to his office, and he wrote on a prescription pad, you know, after he saw me and after he witnessed this, you know, he wrote on a prescription pad, "I rejoice in awe of you and the miracles the Lord has performed," and put my name on it, signed it, and dated it.
But there's a problem.
Yes.
You can't participate in the paraplegic Olympics.
Well, glory, hallelujah.
Now, I'm going to tell you what. I want you to look in the camera, and I want you to pray for someone that is a paraplegic or quadriplegic, and I want you to pray that the same thing that happened to you will happen to them. And have you ever prayed for someone that got out of a wheelchair?
Oh, absolutely, positively. I went to, I opened a camp meeting for a pastor in Baltimore, Maryland, Pastor Michael Brewer. And during that service, there was a woman that had been in a motor vehicle accident on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway 17 years before that, and had spent 17 years in a wheelchair. And the people in the church knew her for 19 years. So they knew her before she had her accident. She came back to that service, and the Lord moved on her that evening, and she got up and walked out of her chair with her husband there.
Now, you listen to me. There is power. There is supernatural power in the testimony. You have just heard two. Bill,
yes.
Very quickly, pray
yes.
Now.
Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus right now, and standing and believing in unity and in agreement that you are in the midst of us right now, Lord. And I just thank you for this miraculous touch that you are providing for all those out there. As your word says, you know, that you have come to heal us, that you have come to make us whole, and that the blood shed on the cross at Calvary was not only shed that we have eternal life, but that we have life in wholeness, and that we are made whole in the image of you. And we just praise you, and we honor you, and we thank you for this miraculous touch that you're providing in all those people's bodies right now, that they are healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Listen, when the Bible says all things are possible, what you have just seen, what you have just witnessed with your very eyes, there is nothing going on in your life right now that God can't solve, that God can't change. Get in touch with God. Develop true intimacy with God. There's no other name given unto men in which we must come to know God, and that is the name of Jesus. And if you will repent your sins and believe Jesus died for your sins and make him your Lord, I tell you, all things are possible.